T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Let's bring in Joe Marino. He's going to help us out with this. The senior NFL draft analyst and host of Locked On Bills is with us on our Western Hotline. Joe, it's Howard and Jeremy. Good morning. Happy Friday. How are you?
Hey, good morning. Happy Friday. And I'm doing well. Hope you guys are as well.
So you're happy with the Bills pick of Ed Oliver, right?
Oh, yeah. It's impossible to not be happy with. I mean, I think I've identified a three technique as the biggest need on this football team. And for them to be able to land Ed Oliver, who I think was one of the best five prospects in this draft at number 9, not have to move up, I think that was just a really good opportunity for them to be patient and let the best player on the board slide down for them. And it really seemed to work out. Fills a big need.
Factoring him into the defense, Joe, what kind of an impact can he make in year one? And how? What kind of role can he play in this defense?
Well, I think right off the bat, you get him in a penetration-style attacking role, put him in there at three technique, and tell him to kind of just penetrate the line of scrimmage and get in the backfield and cause disruption. And that's exactly what he can do. And, you know, a very explosive guy, gets off the ball really quick, and really, really outstanding flexibility and mobility for his size. And just to be able to create those problems for that interior offensive line, you're seeing interior penetration really being such an important part of fielding a top NFL defense. And Buffalo didn't have anything like this, especially with Kyle Williams being gone. And to me, put him in there at three technique and ask him to penetrate and cause that disruption.
Is the size and or arm length anything to be concerned about?
You know, what concerned me about that is that I didn't know that Brandon Bean was going to be okay with that, because we've seen him really kind of gravitate towards prototypes in terms of measurables. But, you know, I think with Ed Oliver, the explosive skill set that he has, it makes you more comfortable with a guy that's sub 290 and sub 32 inch arms, which is not ideal. That's not what the NFL is looking for necessarily. But what makes that, what you overlook that for two reasons. Number one, he plays with terrific leverage. Low man wins in football. And Ed Oliver's a guy that really keeps his pads low, and he's just hard for guys to get their hands on. And so, you know, that helps overcome some of those size issues, but then he does have good functional play strength. You're not going to watch his film and see a lot of plays where he's moved off of his spot and he's going to be attacking downhill, penetrating gaps. You're not going to ask him to stack at the line of scrimmage and really hold his ground against, you know, guys that are going to be 20, 30 pounds more than him. So you use him to his skill set, and his skill set is something that the NFL has found very valuable lately.
I want to ask you in a second about, you know, guys that maybe the Bills could get tonight in rounds 2 and 3. But in round 1 last night, Joe, what are your thoughts on Cleveland Farrell? I mean, the Raiders, everybody was talking about the surprise pick. What are you doing with him, Joe? Is it less about whether you're wondering about his talent, more about where they took him, or do you think that was just a bad pick?
I think Cleveland Farrell's a good football player. I think the top five is incredibly rich. And, you know, when you're talking about top five pass rushers, you want guys with all that checks all the boxes. And Cleveland Farrell's very technically refined. He has heavy hands. He knows how to soften rush angles. Great against the run. I think he'll be a good pass rusher. I just don't think he has the type of ceiling for a top five pass rusher that you would expect to be used in that area of the draft. So a little bit of a surprise. Obviously, Oakland had their own theme with getting physical football players that are very accomplished. You can just really kind of tell with their three picks they made last night. But Cleveland Farrell, I just don't think there's the ceiling to warrant a top five pick.
What about Daniel Jones over Haskins and Locke for the Giants?
Well, you know, I'm not going to pound the table for Daniel Jones in the top 10. I think there's a lot of warts there with his game and a big acclimation period ahead for him. Obviously, the Giants identified him as their guy. He would not have been my top quarterback on the board. I certainly would have went with Haskins or Locke over Daniel Jones. But, you know, this is one of those times where the narrative's played out. All the reasons you thought that Gettleman would want him in terms of the David Cutcliffe connection and that he's, you know, trained the Manning boys and dual threat guy, big, you know, all those superficial boxes, but a player that needs a lot of work, and he was just a quarterback that was drafted in the top 10 last night.
Should I be stressing out over the Patriots getting Harry?
Well, you know, and Keel Harry's a good football player. To me, I probably talked with you guys about what I feel about DK Metcalf. So on one hand, be happy that Tom Brady didn't get DK Metcalf. Keel Harry, I think, is a much more manageable opponent, and he's got a big jump ahead for him. Keel Harry played, you know, at Arizona State, three different offensive coordinators, was used three different ways. I don't think he plays anywhere near where he was tested at the combine. And I think he's very gradual, I think, as a route runner, and he's going to have to get a lot more urgency with how he gets into his route stems. But certainly there's a ceiling there that's very exciting, but I think there's growth. And for me, from my own personal take, he would not have been the top receiver that I would have taken at 32.
On Metcalf, the concerns about his route running, his lateral movement. He's a burner, but people kind of wonder if he can turn or if he can make any sort of finer movements. You're not concerned?
I'm not. And that's the thing is, where's N'Keal Harry's three cone and short shuttle? You know, a lot of these bigger receivers, they didn't do those drills. DK Metcalf went out and did it. He competed, and his numbers weren't good. But here's what I go back to with DK Metcalf, and obviously those agility scores were not anywhere near what we're looking for. But here's receivers win different ways. You know, A.J. Green wins differently than Julian Edelman, and Julio Jones wins differently than Cole Beasley. And so when you talk about DK Metcalf, get him on a linear plane. Have him run goes and slants and crossing the face of corners and give him opportunities to catch the ball and uncover quickly. There's a certain way that you can use him, and he has a skill set at his size that is going to be a matchup problem at the next level. So you think about maybe there's certain teams that wouldn't be ideal for DK Metcalf, West Coast, timing-based stuff. Not ideal, but in a vertical passing offense like the Bills employ, I think that he's the absolute perfect weapon for Josh Allen if that were to be the direction the Bills went at 40.
Well, I was going to ask who would be some of the prime candidates that you would love to see the Bills get at 40? Metcalf, obviously, would he be your top guy, and who else would be on that list?
Yeah, I absolutely, DK Metcalf would be very high to the top, very near the top of the list. Juwan Taylor from Florida, I know there's concerns over a knee injury there, but I thought he was a top 10 player in this year's class. He's my top offensive lineman. You look at these tight ends, Irv Smith from Alabama still available. I know that he's been a popular name to link to the Bills, obviously, with Brian Daboll and the need that the Bills have at tight end for that long-term guy. I expect the Bills at number 40 to go back to helping Josh Allen. Mm-hmm. Ideally, that comes as a skill player at tight end, at wide receiver, maybe a outside chance at offensive line, but I think the Bills have done themselves well to set themselves up to go with that defensive player in the top 10. And I think it gets right back to improving things around Josh Allen on offense on day two.
If they hold off on the tight end until round three, Joe, who are some of the guys you think would be available there at 74, I believe, is their pick?
Jace Sternberger from Texas A&M really pops. He's very athletic. He had been 13 games this past year. 12 of them he had a reception of over 20 yards in the SEC, the only guy to do that. Really love his ability to stretch the seam and win on those outbreaking patterns. Just a really refined route runner and really a standout at Texas A&M. Cahal Waring from San Diego State is a tight end that I like a lot. He's got some room to grow. He's new to football. He only played 1 year of high school football. He walked on at San Diego State. In 2015, he was a scholarship athlete. By 2017, love the natural athletic skill set there. Dax Raymond from Utah State. We've probably talked a lot before the draft about how deep the tight end draft is. And here's where you start to take advantage of that here on day two. Both the Iowa kids went last night. We expected that. Now there's five, six, seven names here on day two that would make a lot of sense. And that's good because potentially that means the Bills can address that at 73.
Joe Marino is with the NFL Draft Analyst for the Draft Network. Great site. You can check that out. He also hosts Locked On Bills, and he's a Mets fan. Joe, thanks for coming on with us, and enjoy the weekend of the draft.
Of course, guys. Thanks for having me on.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.